free energy now.
Imagine a world in which each home has its own power generator that obtains its energy in such a way that no fuel has to be added. Imagine every vehicle being able to run without ever stopping for fuel. Imagine each appliance having its own power source that never has to be recharged. That is the world of the future. Join with us now as we track our progress towards such a world.
Welcome to Free Energy Now. I'm your host, Sterling Allen. Today we are joined by Mike P. Conan II and Stephen Stark of MPK Company's Litro Energy. This is a glow-in-the-dark paint company. They've come up with a self-luminous microparticle called Litrosphere, which they say are inexpensive, non-toxic, and will stay lit for 12-plus years, which is their half-life, as long as 20 years continuously without having to be plugged into any power source. We are especially honored to have them on today. They have gotten a lot of attention on the Internet. Different media sources have covered them, and they have agreed to come on this show. This is the first interview that they are doing. Mike and Steve, thanks for joining us.
It's our pleasure. Thank you.
I understand that Steve's going to be answering most of the questions, but Mike, the inventor, is on hand to answer any questions that or issues if he feels free to jump in on anything that he wants to chime in on.
Oh, that's right. Yep. Thank you.
Well, give us a little bit of an orientation of what this device is or what this technology is and where you are in the process of rolling this thing out.
Well, first I'd like to, I'm Steve Stark, and it's been an honor working with you and helping, having you help us with getting world attention on materials. It's been just amazing having you post information on us, and then it's going worldwide. And I really want to say thank you, Alan, for doing that for us.
You're certainly welcome.
The material is a very exciting development, and it really has the ability to change the way we think about lighting. And to give you a little more background on how we began, Mike, do you want to tell them a little about yourself?
Yeah, I'm Mike, the president of the company. Basically, 9 years ago is when I started working with photoluminescent materials, the glow-in-the-dark. And the reason why is because when I was fishing, I couldn't see the tip of my fishing rod. So I, as a fisherman, decided to try to figure out how to make that glow-in-the-dark, and that's basically where it all started. And then one product led to another, and that's where the Litro Energy is evolved from.
Now, I understand you guys have actually been in the market selling this glow-in-the-dark product for, what, 6 years?
Yes, mm-hmm. A little over six.
And you actually made a revolution in the glow-in-the-dark technology by typically when you have a glow-in-the-dark material, it will last maybe 15 minutes, but yours will last, what, 3 days or something like that?
Yes. We have several different products available as far as the glow-in-the-dark product line. Of course, the aerosol, eight colors of glow-in-the-dark and eight colors in the waterborne acrylic tube product, and some of the products that we have will actually glow for 5 days.
Wow.
Now, when you look at 5 days, you have to look at, you know, what is your interpretation of glow? Yes, it will be still emitting light, but, you know, what is the most useful amount of glow? And, Mike, what would you say for the most brightest of the glow is going to last for hour length?
Well, the intensity of the glow brightness decreases over, we'll say, like the one product that we're selling is over 5 days. And it's we basically tell people, like our glow-in-the-dark paint lines, that the aerosols and the tubes, that each color has a different glow intensity. Some glow longer than others because of the pigment formulas that we're using.
But really, to get most glow is like 4 to 8 hours is really a bright glow.
Yes.
Now, which is really amazing, considering previous to Mike, you know, the glow material would last about 20 minutes of any type of good intensity of light coming from the material. So Mike has really revolutionized the glow material. We're the technological leaders regarding glow material. We sell a lot to OEMs and people that private label our material, so we do a lot of work, you know, with other companies.
You know, one of the things that we've not mentioned is that I think is really exciting about this new product, which is related to the ones that you've been selling for 6-7 years, is, you know, it continuously luminesces. This is not something that has to be exposed to the light to go. It's based on a low emission beta emitting particle, which is, it's a radioactive process, but you encapsulate that in these microspheres, so there's no radiation emitting outside of the sphere. Is that correct?
That is correct, but that's more than we'd like everyone to know. It is, there are microparticles. They're about the size of a sugar or a salt granule, so they're very small. It's 5,000 pound crush resistant, so it's perfect for the applications within plastic injection molding, we think is ideal for our material, and also incorporating it within a paint application, so you get basically painting light.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, think of darkened alleyways. It could be lighted continuously, or anywhere you need light. What this does is it actually opens up a whole new arena of applications that have hitherto been impossible, where you need light. I mean, think of the entertainment industry. Disneyland, didn't they contact you interested in the product?
We have had contact with Disney, and we're looking at doing a presentation with them, much higher level. But, you know, anybody who sees the material and can see an application for it, it opens itself up to almost as much as your mind can think of for the applications. Disney would be a great application, you know, 24 hours, having a light that they don't have to produce electricity for would be a great application almost for any business.
And you only have to run wires to it.
Yeah,
you don't
have
to have batteries.
It is a fundamental change, shift in how we think about lighting. When you look at all that goes into creating light, you know, Edison had a big road ahead when he created his first light bulb with all the wires and creating the whole infrastructure to make his light bulb work. Mike has found a way to eliminate most of everything that's associated with how we come to understand how you create light. A material that is so small, and our fill rate is about 20% when you put it in plastics or paint material. And it creates a bright light over the course of creating this material. We've, you know, publicly have stated that we've got a 20 watt intensity of light from these lithospheres, and we're increasing that as with our development, and we're approaching, you know, a 40 watt type of a luminescent type of brightness, which really puts it in contention with conventional lighting.
With contention in terms of the output of the lights, so it becomes a practical light you can read by, the difference being you never have to plug it in.
Exactly.
That's really amazing. I have to tell you, I was just looking at this page that we pulled together on you guys. It's been there since December 8th, and there's 46,600-something visits on there. Turning into one of the most popular pages on our website.
Well, I think you had a lot to do with it, Alan.
Not a problem. My name, Sterling Allen, people like to switch the first and the last, happens all the time. Yeah, the
first
name is not a problem. So let's talk about where you are at in terms of rolling this out, in terms of getting it to the market where people can license it, OEMs can license the technology to apply to the millions of different applications there will be.
Well, we've You know, that's really our expertise is what we've been doing is selling to OEMs that if you've got an application for a material, you know, we want to make it available to you. And we really don't want to limit and license a specific industry to say, okay, you can have this corner. But we're not opposed to it either. I guess if the opportunity is there and if it's performance-driven, we'll look at licensing for specific industries. But we really want to open it up to everybody as our main goal.
And when you say you want to open it up, let's say that I have an application. Let's say I represent Disneyland. When are you going to be able to deliver something that I could then put into my application?
We're looking at 60 to 90 days of having samples of our material that people can start working with and manipulating and seeing how they're going to use it within their application. And then within 6 to 9 months, hopefully sooner, being mass producing of the material for everyone's use. And we'll scale it up as needed. But the amount of interest we got so far, we're expecting a very large roll-up of our material to produce all the needs.
If somebody wanted to drive or fly into where you're at now, could they see something in operation?
Of course. We'd love to have, if they're a company right now that has an application and they'd like to partner with us or work with us with this material, we can definitely invite them out to visit with us. We're an hour and a half from the Twin Cities Airport. And we'd love to show them what we're doing, how we're doing it, and how we can perhaps work with them. So we're very open with meeting with people now.
Now, when you say Twin Cities, where's that?
Minnesota.
Okay. One of the things that's going to be a burning question, maybe that's the wrong word to use in this context, you know, we're talking about a radioactive material here that if airborne and inhaled is when it becomes dangerous to health. You're saying that it's 5,000 pounds crush resistant, which is really good, but if you get some metals pinching, you could exceed that, and let's say you've got these little microspheres and you breach the microsphere, so now you are letting this stuff out, and let's say it gets airborne, the workers that are working with this are now exposed to potentially dangerous material. What kinds of, let's say, for example, that in the production process, what kinds of safeguards are they going to need to be to prevent something like that from happening?
Well, that's a great question. Regarding the safety applications, that's one of the things that we built into the material is actually to make it extremely safe. And because we're now working with material on a large scale. We're talking microscopic type levels, and because it's a 20% fill rate, there's a lot of other avenues for other things to be damaged by any kind of pinching, and that the microspheres, if by chance one was to be compromised, which hopefully is very unlikely, the minute amount of any kind of radioactivity is something that is negligible.
Well, I understand on the skin it would not be dangerous, but if inhaled, that's where it becomes dangerous?
If it's digested, right.
Or digested?
Our material is encased, you know, it's a sphere, and so it's not something that, if that was digested, you know, there's no harm because we block any kind of radioactivity beta emissions from the material. It's, you know, if it was cracked, you know, it would take a lot of pressure, a lot of impact, and the amount of any kind of material being released is so minuscule. I mean, I got to tell you, if I was to take any light bulb around here and break it open, there's probably more damage and toxicity that I'd have to be worried about than our material. So in reference to, you know, evaluating our material versus, you know, what's on the market currently with mercury and everything else, there's far more things I need to worry about our conventional lighting that we have now than our new technology.
The picture that we have on our website is really a cool picture. It's from your existing product, your glow-in-the-dark. and it shows a person standing there with a bicycle, and the tires and the spokes and on the bicycle tires are lit up, the knee pads are lit up, the elbow pads are lit up, and the helmet lining is lit up. So you see this bicycle rider in the dark. It's really cool.
That's Mike's daughter, actually.
It's what?
That's actually my daughter.
Ah.
And I got to tell you, something about Lytro Energy is one of the most exciting things that I see an application for it is creating it within a synthetic thread. So you have these microparticles that are that can be created in any kind of color, including white, to emit this light, this brightness. And putting it in a thread, now you have different colors of thread that can be making any kind of material to light up. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see everybody walking around at night and illuminating.
Yeah, we're going to have light protectors on our closet and on our dressers so that we're not we don't have light pollution in our bedrooms at night when we're trying to sleep.
Yeah. Well, it's a calming type of light, so hopefully everyone can sleep a little better. It's a nice night light.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's another application, is a little night light in a child's bedroom. You have this little sticker you put on the wall, and it lights up continuously. It doesn't fade during the night. It's on there all the time.
So the novelty applications within our material are quite broad. And I'm sure you're going to see a lot of those types of products being seen in the marketplace first with our material, even though it's a great alternative lighting for, to reduce electricity within a home. I think the novelty applications are probably going to be the first things everyone sees.
You mentioned earlier the process of injection molding, and that may not be familiar to everyone. Let's describe for a minute what that means when you talk about putting this into injection molding so that you have plastics that are fluorescing.
Well, Mike is an expert in plastic molding. He has been an award-winning employee for a large plastics company, and so he has a lot of background, and that made him just ideally suited for working with a lot of companies that use his glow materials. But Mike, can you tell them about how that would work?
Basically, we would take the Lytro Energy and have a polymer company put it into we'll call it a molding concentrate, which would be let down with the virgin material for the molding process. An example would be the molding company, if they were using 100% polyethylene material, and they wanted it to glow, and everybody wants a different type of glow as far as the brightness, but the Lytro Energy, let's say they do a letdown of 95% of virgin material and 5% of Lytro Energy concentrated pellets, that would be a pretty well lit up item.
I don't know if that simplified everything, Mike.
That's why I have you here.
Basically, the injection molding is anything plastic that you see is basically run out through a mold. And so they take this material and they force it through probably a liquid state, Mike?
That's what it, when it starts out as a pellet, and then it's heated up, and then it flows.
So that it flows into the cavity, which now we have everything that can light up that's made of plastic.
Yeah, my friend is a mechanical engineer, and I've been in his shop before with the injection molded machines. It's really an amazing process. As you say, you have a hardened plastic, which goes into a liquid mold. It is injected into some kind of a mold. It cools, comes out of that in the shape that you want, whatever the plastic is, whether it's a frisbee or a container to hold your pills or whatever, any shape you want in plastic. And you're saying that you could put this Lytro Energy product, these microspheres that are glowing, into that plastic process so that they're actually coming out, the plastic that's coming out is fluorescing.
It's emitting light, right?
You can have frisbees that continually glow.
Thanks for pushing the frisbee, Brad. You know that I'm a frisbee inventor.
That's right. Well, let's talk about that for a second.
Thanks, yeah. Whammo is the manufacturer of frisbee, and I created a line of frisbee discs, and the first one is going to be released in Target stores, and then you'll find them in major sporting goods stores worldwide, but it's a foam disc, so it's soft when you throw it and catch it, and has a plastic center that you can now spin the disc easily on your finger. You can even flip it upside down to flip it on your just spin it on your finger and start doing tricks like the pros, and they'll be coming in red and yellow colors with the blue center. So when you see that, it's an easy spin foam frisbee disc.
You know, it just as I think of another application of this glow in the dark. You know, that we have these plastic cases on our laptop computers and desktop computers. You can make those glow in the dark. So the key, you could actually see the keys without any lighting whatsoever, and you're sitting on the airplane at night while the person sitting next to you is trying to sleep. You don't have to have your overhead light on. Your keyboard is actually luminesced, so you can see what letter is what. One of the gazillion applications that will be seen from this technology.
Several keyboard manufacturers have been in contact with us, so we are excited about working with that application. Personally, I don't look at my keys when I type.
I do, though.
Well, the Hunt and Peckers will love it. Yeah, I don't look at the keyboard. But sometimes I have to look to make sure that I'm hitting the right key, you know, for the asterisk or whatever. I've got most keys memorized, but not all. I can type about 60 words per minute, but there are some that I have to look down and make sure I'm hitting the right key.
Well, when I'm doing my computer work, the main reason why I look at the keyboards is to make sure that my formulas aren't screwed up at the end.
Right. Well, do you think that this would, one of the things about this technology is it's not something you can turn off. It's always on. So there's going to be some places where you're not going to want to have it. The military is not going to want to put it on their backpacks on the outside. They don't want to be spotted at all times, and so there are some applications where it would be counterindicated.
Well, I could just throw out just something that I think would be a perfect application, and that would be in submarines on the inside. You know, you don't have an electrical output to create the light inside the submarines, which could possibly be detected. So having a light source that requires no, that doesn't give off any electrical signature, I think would be ideal.
Yeah. Give us some ideas of some of the applications. Let's just talk about that for a little while, some of the things that people have contacted you about using this for.
There's a lot of different applications, and I hate to give out a lot of, I don't want to give out company names, but, you know, use within, you know, vehicles, I think are just, we got a lot of interest regarding interior applications. Exterior applications, putting it on the wheels, the biking industry, the people that do the biking, apparently that image of Mike's daughter has really taken off on the internet, and so we got a lot of biking enthusiasts that can't wait for the material, because, you know, when you're riding a bike and you're on your way home and it starts to get dark, you want to be seen, and this application of the material for safety, I think, is really going to be the front runner. Because everyone needs to be able to see things. We all have that basic need. And if we can help everyone be able to see things better, brighter, continuously, without having to have electricity to function for us to see it, I think it would be so ideal for everybody to experience. You know,
your cars, the paint on the vehicle could be fluorescing.
I kind of tell you, Mike has got a car in his shop that he painted up, and that thing glows. It looks like a nuclear vehicle going down the road. It's just amazing to have his lighted car drive down the road. And Mike, he said, don't tell anybody about this. He says, but when I came across deer, they all run away. I'm like, that's probably a benefit. Nobody wants to hit a deer in the middle of the night, and if the deer are frightened by having a car, you know, emit light like that, maybe that's what we need to focus on.
The headlights don't seem to be enough for the deer, but maybe the entire vehicle lit up, that would freak them out.
It certainly did. In Mike's case, he said they never ran faster when I was driving that car down the road.
Yeah, and also we talked earlier about alleyways, but, you know, right now, think about how much energy is spent by cities to light up intersections and whatnot. If you could just put some paint on the road or around the road or on whatever these, right now you've got those lights, the reflectors that when the car comes along they turn on, but what if those things were lit because of paint on them? Now you've got the entire stem that's lit up. The lines on the road could be fluorescing, so it's not just as you're approaching that you know, within 100 feet you've got the light on the road light lit up, but that then when it rains you can't see the flipping line. It gets so it's really difficult to see the road. If you've got that thing fluorescing out there continuously as far as this road that you can see, the thing is lit up, that would be cool.
We've got some countries that are interested in road applications. We're getting a lot of interest in the bike path applications. I just, you know, would like to see the whole world light up like Tron. That might be pushing a little bit, but it is a nice, emitting of light that the lightosphere do create. It is a nice look, and it's really similar to Tron. Matter of fact, I don't know if we can say it. There's movies that are looking at people that are looking at using our material within movies and stuff like that. So you might see it within on the big screen.
Uh huh. One of the things we've not talked about that I like to talk about in this show. Is how does this work? Why is this lighting up? What's going on?
Well, that is the million-dollar question, and I'd love to answer that question, but we'd like to keep our, you know, how we did it proprietary as much as we can. You know, we'd love to, we're excited about telling the whole world about our discovery, and it is an amazing discovery. But, you know, I always keep thinking of Thomas Edison, and when he went through all the different applications on how to create that light to work, he wasn't, you know, jumping up and down letting everybody know how he did it. And that's something that, you know, in retrospect, I think we're going to look back at Mike and you know, everyone's going to know exactly, you know, how he was able to produce this material safely and consistently and be stable 24/7 light for this length of time. I mean, 12 years is a half life, and you're right, 20 years, it could still be lit up just great.
Well, another thing we've not talked about that is key is price. How much is this going to cost? It might work, but how expensive is it? What's it going to? How much is a paint can of this stuff going to cost?
I haven't thought of a paint can, Mike. What's the paint can quality?
Well, it's all going to depend on the load rate of the lightosphere within the paint resin. So at this point, I guess I just to take a stab at it, a four ounce can of light paint, lightosphere paint, is probably going to range around $7, but it'll go a long ways.
And how would that compare to just a regular paint can? What does that run?
Well, it depends what type of paint you're looking at. If you were, you know, you can paint a car and spend $5,000 for paint for one car because of the specialty paints that are available on the market. Well, this isn't on the market, and this is, you know, it's a specialty, nothing like it, which would probably bring in $10,000 for a car if you painted an entire car per gallon. So basically $7 for a 4 ounce can. It all depends on what type of paint you're purchasing.
And the application, I guess, would matter, because Mike his expertise is taking his materials in custom creating it for the application. That's why we work with so many OEMs, is that Mike's able to formulate for their specific needs. So automobile paints are very much a specialty type application and requires a lot of special things about the material. Yes, it could be used for automotive paint, but I don't know if Mike's been driving around the car with his glow-in-the-dark material, and he got pulled over a few times, but he never got a ticket because it's not actually creating light. Now, this Litro Energy does create light, and so that might not be available to everybody driving around in lighted cars.
It should. I would think that it will be available for egress equipment, school buses, and so forth, as far as the paint application. But for hobbyists and like, you know, painting underneath your car, you can't use those LED lights because they're protruding light. I don't think that it'll probably be allowed for, you know, individual use.
The reason on that? I don't understand why that would not be something you would want.
I think it would be great. I would love it if everybody had lighted cars. Just think of the safety applications. But, you know, will governments allow it? That's the question. And people can take our electric energy and use it within their applications, and would love to see, you know, images and how they're using it and post it.
I can see people skiing down the slopes with their windbreakers, lighting, glowing in the dark.
I was downhill skiing yesterday, and I was doing all the hot dogging and doing spins on the ground, and you know, people yelling and screaming. I just imagine if I was the one all lit up doing that. Yeah. And if I was in an avalanche, my gosh, it'd be nice to be able to be seen a little bit if they're trying to dig me out.
Yeah, you could. As the snow starts glowing, they know they're getting close.
Yeah.
What about you? You've been at this. The story has been about a month now that we posted this. What kind of level of how many numbers of people are we talking about sitting down at the table with you to find a contract to get this thing into their product line?
We are, there's a lot of Fortune 500 companies that have expressed an interest in our material and meeting with us, and we're coordinating those meetings every day. And we're really excited about hopefully partnering with one of those companies within the next 30 days. What would you say about that? That's all right, Mike?
Yep, that's right.
That's pretty exciting. That's a cute story that Mike tells about why he invented this in the first place. He's a fisherman, and he wanted to be able to see the end of his pole. He likes to fish at night.
Mike likes to fish all the time. He said the problem, Steve, when I came up with this material, is I haven't been able to find time to fish anymore.
Uh-oh.
That's the truth on that.
Now everyone else is catching your fish because they've got these little lights on their fishing rods.
Well, Mike has taken his glow materials, and there's major manufacturers of fishing lures that use his glow material within their lures, and that's really exciting. It does catch the fish. Anybody who's out there that's a fisherman, get some of the glow material on your lures. You can apply it yourself with any of his products, but Litro Energy is going to be so much better because you won't have to recharge it with a little bit of light exposure. It just continuously, in your tackle box, you open it up, it's already lit up, ready to go. And it should really attract all the fish.
Yeah, one example I'd like to mention would be like these lighted bobbers for night fishing, which require batteries. This is going to replace that particular item, and then they have tip-up lights, which require batteries, and it'll replace that.
That's
product line.
Ice fishing, right?
Ice fishing, yes. All right. Yep. So there's a lot of fishing applications that this can be utilized in.
Well, tell us, I understand that both there's two Mike P. Conans. You're Mike P. Conan the second, and Mike P. Conan the first also works at your company. What does he do?
He is the vice president, and basically takes care of legal.
How big is your company?
It is a small company, and but with Litro Energy, it's just we're going to be expanding, and it'll be much a larger operation. But right now, we are a very small company with just amazing technology, and we're excited about bringing it to the world.
Mm-hmm. Do you anticipate? I guess that this is something you're not going to want to talk about. There are other applications besides just light. I'll nip it on the butt on that subject. But I just want to just mention that this is not going to be the only thing that we're going to be hearing about from you guys. This in and of itself is huge. I mean, we thought Rubik's cubes were, everyone was walking around with one of these little gizmos playing with it. Litro Energy is going to be huge. It already is with your glow in the dark. But this stuff is going to be everywhere. It's going to be incorporated into building materials. It's going to be so that when people buy plastic Legos, little kids can make glow in the dark stuff. But the engineers are going to be building it into buildings.
We have had some building engineers contact us regarding for use within buildings, and that really we're really excited about it. Mike has, after 9/11, there's been a huge demand for glow-in-the-dark material, and Mike has been lucky enough to be in the business prior to that, and now that the need has been exposed to have lights within exit ways and stairways that show the way out. And Mike is aware of New York law and also in California that is now coming to light where it's requiring to have stairwells to have glow-in-the-dark material. So we're hopefully when Litro Energy is on the market, that will be the standard and not just glow-in-the-dark material.
Yeah. Well, we use the word glow-in-the-dark, and often people, when they think about that, they're picturing something that was lighted during the daytime that is now re-emitting during night. But this is glowing all the time. This is glowing 24/7 for years on end.
Sunlight has no effect on Litro Energy at all.
You could drop these things down to the ocean and give the lights up the fish something to talk about.
Fish are attracted to it. Mike is familiar with an application that people are using, like glow sticks, in the ocean to catch fish. They troll with these lights on the nets. They use these chemical luminescent lights, and the waste, I think, that is used with that material constantly would be replaced with an ongoing light that would attract the fish and hopefully increase everyone's ability to feed the world. And speaking of that, I really see a huge application of our material for the use of growing crops, food stocks, with having 24/7 light on plant material. It doubled the growth.
So greenhouses would love you.
They would, and I think that is really an exciting application. Because the world is growing, the population, is not stopping, and we're going to have to find creative ways to feed the world. And I think that Mike might have an application that will really benefit everyone.
Well, when we talk about global warming and the impact that the human kind is having on the planet, this is something that really could turn things around from on the food chain end of things as well. And when I said drop it in the ocean, I had a zillion thoughts floating through my head as soon as I said that about replenishing the Earth's lost resources because of the raping that we've done on the planet. We could replenish a lot of these the food stocks. We could replenish the oceans. Do a lot of things that where we've taken things out. We could put them back in because now things will grow like they've never been able to grow before because of this continual light source that they'll have.
That is very exciting.
Indeed. What about an application we've not touched on here that's huge?
Mike, what do you think the safety applications, we think, are just probably one of the nicest applications for world safety. Knowing that the sign you're approaching, is fully lit and can give everybody great directions on travel and for safety, for warning of, like lighted safety tape. I always thought would be a great application. If you have light or energy on tape, you can take that piece of tape and throw it in a drawer, and now every time you open that drawer, you've got light. So I think that safety applications, I'm really excited about saving people protecting them.
So now, teenagers who are wanting to find a dark corner somewhere are not going to be as happy because there will be fewer dark corners to find.
We currently have glow-in-the-dark spray paint in different colors, and Lytro Energy will come in different colors as well, and more than likely we'll be able to control the brightness as well. You can have one color be brighter than the next. But having graffiti artists out there, not that I'm promoting graffiti, but graffiti's the dark alleys, if they start using it there, will be a nicer environment to be in.
Well, artists, you'll open up a whole new vista of art, varying hues of light, varying hues of color. Oh, man, the artists will love you.
I think the designers are really going to love us regarding the fabrics and the using of the lighted thread. I just can't wait to see the different types of clothing and safety clothing when you ski or when you ride your motorcycle. Having your body illuminated will really, I think, offer a lot of safety applications. Jogging would be great.
Can you imagine Leonardo da Vinci using glow-in-the-dark paint?
That's a stretch. I mean, I'm a fan of Elvis paintings, on that black velvet, but and using glow-in-the-dark would be a great Elvis image. Electro energy, that would be 24/7 light. I mean, it'd probably look really great in my pool, having around the pool area, having Elvis all light up. It's great for, I think, the bars, and the club-type atmospheres will really get a kick out of this material. And how everything can now illuminate and not have to worry about the cost of electricity to run it or the wires that might decay or break. This is stable, constant light in a variety of colors, and which is just to create the light itself is so amazing, but Mike has found the ability to do it in all the different range of colors.
Let's talk for a second about how much energy saving we're talking about, where we don't have to have our light bulbs turned on all the time because they're on as soon as you buy it and they never turn off. You don't have to have a battery or an electrical source coming to them. So houses, a lot of lighting that we can turn off the electricity to the light because you don't have to. It doesn't use electricity. What kind of calculations have you done on residential, commercial, and global savings of electricity because of this technology?
Well, I can tell you that 20% of global production of electricity is to produce light. And that's a huge drop in electrical use if Lytro Energy takes off everywhere and is used worldwide. I think camping applications where you have no electricity, access to electricity is just a wonderful application. But you're right, reference to homes or buildings. I love it. My house you know, see, there's no reason when I'm going down the stairs to have to flip a switch just so I can see the steps that I'm on. If I have Elytra energy, it's already illuminating the path for me, and it's not causing me any expense to run the electricity. And the low cost of the material makes it so user-friendly and, in the long run, so cost-effective.
Now, I just thought of a downside. I thinking of these little kids that don't know what they're doing, or teenagers who do know what they're doing and like to be rebellious, ingesting this paint so that they become luminescent.
I hope that never occurs, and how dare you suggest that to people. But the Elytra energy is safely contained within the sphere, so we're not looking at no one really chomping down with 5,000 pounds of force to break open a Elytra sphere. So it would pass safely through somebody, but I would never recommend it or even consider having anybody doing that.
Well, these are pretty small particles, size of a grain of salt. They could take up residence permanently, and if they can get passed through the digestive tract. Of course, that's huge compared to what normally is ingested into a digestive tract. But if they have a little cut or a sore or something inside their digestive tract, it could actually become a permanent part of their body.
Just don't suggest this to tattoo artists. I don't want to go there.
Well, if you, a regular painter, couldn't he get just the regular lithosphere? This is basically little tiny beads that they're adding into, whether it's plastic or paint, and that's how you're applying this stuff, right?
Right. Our main goal with Elytra Energy initially is working directly with OEMs. These are people that are making products currently and are just adding Elytra Energy to their current products that they manufacture. Our goal is not to actually produce the material to allow for direct public consumption. It's all going to be going through the OEMs, which, they will make sure that their products are safe. Granted, we could put Elytra Energy in a spray can. I think that's probably many years away, even though we could do it, just because having what you suggested as a possibility, we can't go there. So really, it has to be probably plastic injection molding initially. Once the product is fully aware, the public is fully aware of our material and that it's non-toxic and it doesn't emit radiation. When the safety aspects are completely understood, an OEM could start producing the material with paint cans, spray cans for public use.
Mm-hmm. Just for the understanding of what kind of, 5,000 pounds crush resistance, if you've got two vehicles that are painted, or one of the vehicles is painted with this, and it crashes into another vehicle, and it's going 70 miles an hour, and the oncoming vehicle's going 70 miles an hour, so you've got tremendous force in the collision, would that be enough to rupture any of these, or is that not going to be enough?
Again, you're talking microscopic releasing of our material, and it's such a minute amount, it really would cause no fear, or the toxicity application is so minute that it really doesn't come into play.
Mm-hmm. Skydivers would love it, too.
I would love to see skydivers flying out of the sky all lit up. It'd be great. Maybe I'll see them easier, when they're coming down. Can you imagine the displays? People will find with this material and what they do with it and how they show off with the application that they've discovered with the material. It is almost as unlimited as imagination for the use of our Elytra energy. So I'm excited to see, where the world goes with our material.
Yeah, going to be amazing. I can picture a little tube of, you have those little like telescope-looking tubes that you look in and you turn them, and kaleidoscope. You put some of this glow-in-the-paint stuff, or glow-in-the-dark stuff in there. All kinds of fun little gizmo that people can come up with. The artist idea of being able to put this in your paint, is your, do you think it would go into, let's say, an oil paint?
Well, sure. It certainly could be put into an oil paint. But how soon we come out with an oil paint for artists to use is another. I mean, there's arts and crafts companies that have approached us with the using of Elytro Energy, and we're open to discuss those applications. And when the timing is right, I'm sure it'll be released, and that'll be great to see. I'm an artist, so I'd love to use that material. So I might be the first one to apply that oil material.
One of the things you're going to want to look into, one of the properties that we've not talked about yet, is the insulated value of those little microspheres. If you're painting a wall with those microspheres, not only is it fluorescing, but it's also providing a layer of insulation because the heat is not going to pass through as easily. You've got to quantify that and include that as part of the promotional aspect of one of the site benefits.
Well, Sterling, can we have you part of our company? Are you available to help us with that? That sounds like a great application.
Well, I appreciate the compliment, and I do love helping technologies move forward, and this kind of dialogue is something I enjoy very much.
That's an amazing application. You're right. You're absolutely right. It certainly could cause or create some insulating applications. One thing that we haven't touched upon is the extremes of our material can run. It is not, like we've disclosed, is not affected by heat or cold, which brings it for a lot of applications worldwide.
When you say it's not affected by heat or cold, you're talking about the temperatures that we're typically exposed to. So, you know, you could use this up in the Arctic as well as obviously there's going to be some kind of a melting temperature. How high does it have to get to start melting?
The extremes can't, you know, we're always testing the material and making sure that we understand the limits of the material. But, you know, when it has, if a human can survive within the elements, so can our material. It could be, you know, 40, 80 below, and our material is not going to be affected by it. Of course, you melt or burn anything, you're going to have some effect. And so that can occur. But when our material is burned or something like that, it just turns to carbon, so it's just like anything else.
What happens to the radioactive component when, let's say, you know, we're moving in the future toward compost, or the landfills are going to be turning our energy into, or our trash into energy. They're going to be turning it into plasma. What happens to the radioactive component in the paints or in the lithospheres that would be going through the landfills?
Well, besides having the landfills illuminated, it would eventually break down just like any plastic or organic material. But when it eventually breaks down, it turns into carbon and hydrogen, and so those are just natural elements anyway. So none of the material that goes into our products have lead in them or are toxic, but our material, because of the way we create it, after testing, should show that it is non-toxic and does not emit radiation.
Uh-huh. Well, we have come to the end of our time. This has been an enjoyable interview. I appreciate both of you coming on. We've been talking to Mike P. Conan II and Steve Stark of MPK Company. They have a product called Elytro Energy. It's going to light the future. And your website is?
Elytro Energy, which is Elytro Energy, or Glow Paint. Everybody can remember glowpaint.com.
Okay. And people that are interested in doing business with you can contact you there.
Exactly. Thank you very much. We really appreciate the opportunity to meet with you, and you are our first public interviews going live. We've never done this before, and we're honored to be on your show.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank
you. Good luck
John.
In your business.
You've been listening to Free Energy Now, brought to you by PES, Pure Energy Systems. You may access past archives and upcoming show info at freeenergynow.net and join us for our daily news at freeenergynews.com. We invite you to see our directory of energy technologies at peswiki.com. That's peswiki.com. PES, the Pure Energy Systems Information Network.